Well, good morning and welcome to yet another in our continuing political perspectives on WFSU, not only the FM side of the house, but also 4FSU, which is Comcast Channel 4, and a whole bunch of other media that is part and parcel of our modern communications technology, which is a wonderful thing. Hey, before we begin, a reminder, you are always invited to be part of the show via phone and email. 850-414-1234 is the phone number. If you're old-fashioned landline and you need a toll-free number to get long distance because you are way out in the hinterlands, it's 800-926-8809. Email perspectives at WFSU.org, and you can send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective, or you can log on to Facebook at WFSU Media and make your comment there, and that will magically appear on this screen. As we said, this Perspectives episode being telecast at 7 this evening Eastern on 4FSU, Comcast Channel 4, in Leon, Gadsden, Wakulla, Madison, Taylor, and Brooks counties, and our live stream on WFSU Media Facebook page. And we'll hang around for a couple things. Joe has to take off here. He's got a trip coming up, but I'll speak on your behalf, and then the rest of the folks can weigh in, too.
That'll be perfect.
There we go. That works out. But that'll be coming up after 12 noon here, just a little expanded version, so folks can maybe address a few more issues and give another pitch for their own candidacy here. And we have Bandwagon coming up. That's a lot of fun. If you're unfamiliar with that program, that is on WFSU-TV. That'll be coming up July 31st, starting at 7 o'clock. That's a Tuesday, by the way. And we have the candidates and their supporters, and they wave signs and hoop and holler, and the Capitol Cordsman will sing you into oblivion if you go over time. So that's a blast. We hope you can join us for that, too. Tallahassee City Commission, seat 4. That is the mayor's seat. And we have 5 of the 6 candidates here with us today. We have, and we grabbed this here out of a hat literally this morning, so we'd have a random order of who does what to whom when. And we will start with you, Mr. Joe West. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you jumped into this race, sir.
I don't know. I came into the race in October. I'm not happy with the way things have gone in our city over the last few years. I believe that it's time to change the way we do business in the city of Tallahassee, and I want to see us get more people involved in the political system. There's been way too many non-contested races for city and county offices, and hopefully I can get the city divided up into districts so that we can, not I, but the commission can get the city divided up into districts and everybody live in a district that they represent. It will reduce the cost of campaigning, making elected seats available to more people, and I'd also like to limit the amount of time you can sit on that commission so that you limit the number of years you're on that commission and more people can become involved in city politics. This is the grassroots level of politics. This is where it affects us, I think, the hardest. So those are a couple of my goals. I would like to see the mayor's position, the leadership mayor's position, go away and have a rotating chair like the county commission does. I think that's in our benefit. We spend a lot of money on that mayor's office, and I think it can probably be put to better use. So that's where I'm at. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm not a politician, as anybody that knows me will tell you, and I'm just trying to offer myself as a citizen legislator for a few years.
Okay, and a big background also in veterans advocacy and all that, Vince Talley, all that kind of thing.
I've been very active in veterans issues. I'm a legislative liaison for Vietnam Veterans of America. I'm the chapter president of VVA here. I'm on the National Cemetery Support Committee. Anything to do with veterans in the area, I probably either have dabbled in or am dabbling in currently. So we got some things going on at the National Cemetery that are exciting. POW/MIA event has moved out there permanently. That's the third Friday in September. And just lots of things like that.
Okay, terrific. Thanks so much, Joe. Next up is John Daly. We've seen this guy around here, too. But for the benefit of folks who maybe have a little of your background, sir, and again, why you're running instead of for county commission, where you've been for quite a while, for Tallahassee mayor.
Tom, it's great to see you. And thanks for having us on the air today. And it's actually great to see all the candidates. We have a good time at the forums. And this is a wonderful program. Looking forward to Bandwagon. That's always a great program as well. I want to be the next mayor of the city of Tallahassee. I love Tallahassee. I'm from Tallahassee. I was raised here. I grew up with Tallahassee policy being dinner table conversation. My father, Scott Daly, served on the school board here in Leon County. I went to school at Florida State and just fell in love with this community. In 2005, my wife and I came back to Tallahassee and started a family. We have two boys that we're raising here. And I did get involved with politics. There was an open seat on the county commission, and for the past 12 years, I've had the opportunity to represent the citizens of District 3, and it has been an honor and a privilege to do so. For the past 22 years, I have been working directly with municipalities all across the country. And I love municipal government. I love local governance. And I am ready and excited about the next chapter of the city of Tallahassee. I think we've got incredible potential, but it's going to take strong leadership to be able to move the city forward. A mayor with a vision, with experience, that can bring back public trust. And I am ready to step up to the plate and accept the challenges.
It sounds very good. We have a newcomer here to politics, who is Carrie Litherland. And you're up next. A little bit of background, Carrie, and again, why you're in this race.
Yeah, so my name is Carrie Litherland. I'm new to this scene. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having us. I jumped in this race for a couple of reasons. Advocacy started for me personal. My father was diagnosed with a mental illness in 2015, and we started as a family advocating for mental health resources here in town. Through that advocacy, I saw, you know, the hurt, the frustration in our residents' lives, and saw that they just weren't being heard. So I started down this journey of what can we do as advocates to get more process here. Then I had my daughter in September, and apparently when you have a child, your whole perspective on life changes. And the passion that I had for the city and its residents turned into a need to take action. And I felt that the best place for me to do that was in this mayor's race. So now I'm here. The straw that broke the camel's back for me was the big oak that got pulled down in Cascades Park. That's when I said, you know what, I'm in. I'm doing it. It wasn't so much that it was the tree, although I love our live oaks and I love our canopy roads and I want to protect that as much as possible. It was the fact that that we didn't take the time to take the public's priorities into consideration. We took the developer's priorities first. And so I want to offer a voice for the community, not that of our political elite and not that of the corporations or the developers here in town that we have so often been overshadowed by. So there's a couple of things. You know, first and foremost, we need to earn the trust back for our local government. We need to see complete transparency in our budgets. I would like to see more mental health resources. That's my biggest push personally. That's my personal big push. And I think that we just truly need a leader who's going to speak for the residents in the community.
Thank you very much, Carrie. Next up, Dustin Daniels. Hey, Dustin, background and why you're in this.
Absolutely. Well, hey, first of all, thank you, Tom. It's good to see you again. It's good to be back at WFSU. My name is Dustin Daniels. I did not grow up in Tallahassee. I grew up in a small town just outside of Tampa called Wickiwachi, Florida, in a household that could be defined as working poor. I was a first-generation college student, the first person in my family to graduate from high school, former juvenile criminal offender, and someone who, quite frankly, knows what it's like really to see a community that really has no access to economic or social opportunity. But for a family who sort of emphasized education, but for a family who believed in me, I don't think we'd be having this conversation, to be honest with you. Since that time of my humble beginnings, I kind of achieved a little bit of an unlikely life trajectory. I came to Florida State University. I was student body president my senior year. I went on to study the London School of Economics. I'm an economist by training. I teach international economics at Florida State. And for the last 4 years, I've served as chief of staff and director of legislative affairs for the city of Tallahassee. Ultimately, I think I got in this race because I've had the opportunity to work at the grassroots, the grass tops, and the policymaking levels. I think I understand the issues that our community is facing and our opportunity moments a little bit differently than folks who have, maybe who've worked and sort of dealt with these issues on platitudes and really just from a 40,000-foot view. For me, I am tired of living in a city that really is a tale of two cities. It's the best of times, it's the worst of times. Depending on what zip code that you find yourself in, you live a very different reality than somebody from a different zip code. I think that in a 21st century city, which I believe Tallahassee can be and should be, that we prioritize issues like economic segregation, that we prioritize prioritize issues like economic opportunity in a way that doesn't just say that it's important during election years, and in a way that doesn't just say that we're going to do it when we find our name on a list of things that we don't want to find ourselves on, like the number one crime city in the state of Florida. I think that there's a lot that can be done. I think that there is a lot that we can actually learn from other communities. And ultimately, even though I think I'm probably more of a policy wonk than a retail politician, I think at this moment in time, this election in particular is extremely transformational for our city. And I'd like to be at the helm of city leadership as we write our next chapter.
Thank you very much. We also have another visitor to these microphones. And to give you fair warning, we've got about a little over 2 minutes left. And what I think I will do, why don't we hold to the other side of the break on that to give you, Michelle Ray Wakel-Vasselinda, ample opportunity to do the same thing that the other folks have done here. And we will remind everyone that you are not only listening to this Political Perspectives on WFSU-FM, as we usually have every Thursday. And yes, we'll have a Thursday show. That'll be tomorrow. We're going to be talking with the candidates for Tallahassee City Commission Seat 5. That's the one that Gil Ziffer has had for these many years. And Gil, just like Nancy Miller in Seat 3, decided, nope, not going to do it again. And so we are going to have three new members on the Tallahassee City Commission this go around, which makes it incumbent upon all of the voters within the city limits to get out there and to state their preference, to make sure, number one, that you are registered to vote, but then you exercise that franchise either through early voting by mail or early voting in person at a number of places it'll be set up. And we'll be yakking with Mark Early, the election supervisor of Leon County, about that shortly to find out where they are and what times they will be open. And if you miss that, you can always go out on Election Day itself, where we have scads of precincts around Leon County, and for the city of Tallahassee, that's where the predominant number of those are, where you can cast your ballot on that. We are also Facebook Living it today on our Political Perspectives, and that's where you can also register a question or a comment for our panel of candidates. Go on WFSU Media, that's our Facebook page, and then you can put your comment on there. And a reminder again, if you're just joining us, that the Bandwagon program will be airing live on WFSU TV and for FSU on Tuesday, July 31st. That'll be starting at 7 p.m. And that's an opportunity for the candidates to give a very condensed version of what they can do for you as members of the Tallahassee City Commission and the other open races that are up and facing us here on this particular ballot. In the meanwhile, if you'd like to give us a call, do that too. 850-414-1234 for our Political Perspectives. We got five of the six for the Tallahassee City Commission seat for the mayor's seat. We'll be right back. We are back on Political Perspectives, Tallahassee City Commission seat for the mayor's seat, and we have a candidate who is not here with us. Norris Barr spoke with Norris not too terribly long ago, said try to be here. Stuff happens, but we have five of the six, and we finish our opening remarks here with Michelle Ray Wakel-Vasselinda, formerly a representative from Tallahassee and in the state legislature, now running for mayor. So, Michelle, for the benefit of those who don't know your background, why are you doing this?
Well, Tom, thank you for having us here, and thank you for the opportunity. And it's wonderful to be back because I've done this a number of times. But I served in the Florida House from 2008 to 2016, and people have asked, why am I doing this? I want to give back what I've learned. I mean, I have sat in committees and on the House chamber and looked at the budget of, you know, of a state, done many things and passed bills and worked with folks around the state, around the nation, and even across the pond on specific issues of cybersecurity and grid security. And I think that that kind of experience, skill, knowledge, and network is what this city needs to bring it to the next level. And I have a vision for this city, and it is to make it the capital city of the third largest state in the union, to make it shine. We need to get beyond the corruption, the cronyism and the crime perception that we have here in the reality. And I think I can do that with the creative ideas that I've come up with in the legislature and the proven track record I have for integrity, the proven track record I have for being effective, for working with people across the aisle, and for working with the governor's office, legislators, agencies. You know, whoever it is, I'm willing to work for the people above politics to get what's needed for the people I represented. Back when I was in the legislature in those 8 years, it was the people of this district, which really matches, actually, the city quite well. And I worked for the state workers. That was a big issue that I worked on. And I got them a raise. I asked for a 7% raise at one point in time for everyone. I got a 7% raise for people under $40,000 and a $1,000 bonus for folks. Worked with the governor's office on a number of things. Whether he was a Republican or not, he was the guy that could do things. I have never seen the city commissioners or the county commissioners up there. They've sent the lobbyists, but the FaceTime is absolutely necessary. And I saw other city commissioners and other county commissioners in the governor's office, the speaker's office, and around the halls of the Capitol. And that's what we need. We need somebody who's not afraid to do that, who's willing to do that, and to put people above politics, whatever the party, whatever is going on. You know, Mike and I have raised 5 children in this town. They all went to Leon High School. Our two girls went to FSU. I was privileged to represent FSU. It was slap dab in my district. I was one of the first, actually, I was the first person who brought up the Veterans Center into the budget and got the initial money on a line item for the Veterans Center at FSU, and I'm very, very proud of that. So that is why I'm running, because I want to give what I have, what I've learned, what the people have allowed me to learn by serving them in the legislature. I want to bring that back. And as far as why at this point in time, because I think it's needed, and I actually gave up an opportunity to go to Oxford this past spring to run for office.
Terrific. Okay. Well, why don't we combine a Facebook question and an incoming call, because they're both kind of wrapped around the same issue here. And all of you folks have kind of referenced it in one way or another. The Facebook question regards that too many folks have been arrested for possession of small amounts of marijuana. As mayor, would you push for the decriminalization of small amounts, up to an ounce of marijuana? Would you help those with a record of being arrested in the past for possession, in regards to creating a clean slate for them? And let's combine that with a question coming in by phone from Chris. Chris, welcome to Perspectives. Go right ahead.
Thank you for having me.
Sure thing.
Yeah, so my question is just for Commissioner Daly. As the only current elected official, I was just wondering what responsibility, if any, you bear for the current elevated crime rate here in Tallahassee.
Okay, well, let's start with Commissioner Daly. We'll go back to the order then, but let's combine that all together. We know that there is a crime situation here in Tallahassee, regardless of how you do the breakdown of the statistics. It's still pretty high. What do we do about that, and perhaps a decriminalization of small amounts of marijuana?
Sure. And Chris, thank you so much for the phone call. I'm going to answer your part of the question second. I'm going to answer the Facebook question first and foremost.
Okay.
When we talk about the decriminalization of small amounts of marijuana, yeah, I'm in favor of that. And I think that society is coming around to the idea. We're seeing states across the United States that are taking actions like that to decriminalize small amounts. I'm proud of the fact that we have a pretty good record here in Tallahassee as well. Your Leon County Commission actually has created deferment programs that we work with the state attorney's office and with local law enforcement. So if somebody does get busted with small amounts of marijuana on them, it doesn't ruin their record. And of course, we have people in the Leon County Jail that should not be in the Leon County Jail. They're not violent offenders, and we should do the best job we can to make them productive members of society when they come out. Definitely.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to the crime statistic, that's a great question, Chris. That really is. I want to remind you the responsibility and the interlocal agreement that we have with the city of Tallahassee. The primary responsibility of the county commission is the unincorporated area, which is patrolled by the Leon County Sheriff's Office. And in fact, if you look at the statistics with the Leon County Sheriff's Office, our crime rate is down. Okay, it has been going down, and Sheriff McNeil has done a tremendous job as a law enforcement leader here in Leon County. We have the interlocal agreement with the Dallas Police Department that patrols inside the city limits. And I am very proud to have the endorsement of the Police Benevolent Association. They believe in me as a candidate running for mayor. And I look forward to working with them to do the best job we can. I think one of the things that we need to do when we address the crime rate here in Tallahassee is that we have to have better communications and provide them with the appropriate software so our law enforcement agencies can actually communicate, whether it's within the patrol, the investigations, working with the state level and the federal level, working with the judiciary, the state attorney's office, and the public defender's office. That's just one idea of how we can arm our police officers, better equip them. It's not just about the body cameras. It's not just about patrol cars, but giving them 21st century technology to be able to move forward. But I appreciate the call. That was great.
Okay. Thanks so much, John. And Joe West, again, let's talk about the pot issue. And then again, overall crime, how do you approach that as mayor of Tallahassee?
Okay, as probably the only one at the table that is 21 years clean and sober, the pot issue. I think marijuana is way overvalued as a drug. It's it should have been legal years ago. I probably joined Normal in 1974. For those of you who don't know what that is, that's the National Organization of the Reform of Marijuana Laws. April 20th, they have their little smoke-in all over the country. That's all wonderful. John's right. It's being slowly decriminalized all across the nation, and I'm sure Florida will get to that point. I'm not sure that the city has an ordinance on that, but if they do, I would like to see it go away. But I believe that's a state law that we have to work with. And Michelle would know more about dealing with the state legislature than I do, for sure. And I would lobby to get it legalized in the state of Florida. Marijuana is nowhere near as big a risk as what alcohol does to people. People that smoke marijuana, your biggest threat from them is they may steal your Twinkies. So you just, you know, I know you guys can't help it, but it's just not. It doesn't create the personality changes that alcohol does. I'm a recovering alcoholic and drug addict. I've had the opportunity to pretty much do everything. And 21 years clean and sober tells me that it's not the drugs, it's the people. People say marijuana is a gateway drug. It's not a gateway drug, it's just a drug. If you're an addictive personality, you're going to abuse whatever. I mean, I could learn how to abuse water if it'll alter my mood. So that's just part of my personality, and that's part of addiction is a mental health problem. It's not a physical problem. You cannot legislate mental illness, and addiction is mental illness. So legalize marijuana. As for crime in Tallahassee, yes, we have a problem. Yes, we need to address it. I think we need a comprehensive plan that includes law enforcement and also includes the population, because I think one of the biggest problems is a lot of our population is not comfortable interacting with law enforcement. And that's the nicest way I can put it. And we need to get those skills enhanced. We need to make people more comfortable with law enforcement, because without the aid of the citizenry, the police can't do anything. So that's where I'm at.
Okay, terrific. Joe, Carrie Lutheran, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement with everybody that's spoken so far, probably those who will speak soon, and that the small amounts definitely need to be decriminalized. Working with mental health, you see it how well it can help somebody. And while, as Joe mentioned, Michelle has experience at the legislature, so do I. I work right now as a legislative consultant for a law firm here in town and help our clients put together policy and budget requests on a state level. So I saw it this past session and the session before that when we were discussing all of this. And it is time that Florida makes that move, we make that jump. Just because we've legalized it on a medical level doesn't mean that everybody has access to it that needs to have access to it. And decriminalizing it allows those people who have anxiety and depression and severe issues that marijuana helps get access to it without being criminalized. So that's the answer to that question. When we talk about the crime rate here in town, you know, I've lived here my whole life, and I've always felt safe. And so those stats, when we hear them and see them on the newspaper, have always shocked me. But when we talk about it, I always want to talk about public safety because I think it's a bigger subject than just the crime stats. We need to talk about public safety. And for me, that has three levels to it in this campaign. The first is our relationship with our police. And I want to see a huge push towards community policing. I know TPD has stepped up and tried to do those things here in town, but I want to push it even further and make sure that the people who are working the beats in the neighborhoods know those people by name. They know where they go to school. They know what their life situation is like. And they feel comfortable coming to them and saying, hey, I'm struggling for this and I'm thinking about doing this. And we can stop it before it even happens because they have that relationship. When I was at Cobb, we called him Depp, and he was our SRO, school resource officer, and he built an extremely close relationship with every student, and I felt comfortable as a student saying, hey, somebody is bullying me. Can we work on a solution to fixing it? Hey, I didn't do something right, and I need help admitting it to the teacher and the principal. Can you help me? And I think that shows how big that relationship is and how we need to push for it. The second thing is making sure that our kids have a safe place to learn and grow. And I want to see us revitalize our recreation centers. You know, we have great recreation centers in our parks, and someone that's in head of it is an amazing person, and I think she's got some great ideas, and I think we should listen to her on how to put more programs in there that attract the kids back into the recreation centers. I know we have a couple of great programs like the Tempo program and a couple of other ones helping kids, you know, figure out their way, but making sure that that's our priority. And then the third thing for me, like I always say, is mental health resources. We can't talk about public safety without talking about mental health resources. And I personally want to see a drop-in center here in town. It's federally funded, so it wouldn't cost us anything. And it would provide a place for somebody who's not yet ready for saying I'm in crisis and I need to go into the inpatient, but I can't wait 6 months to see my psychiatrist and I need to do a med check. You know, I need to make sure that I'm right there, I'm in the right spot, and hopefully we'd have some peer support specialists on staff. Hopefully psychiatrists and therapists in town would volunteer their time, and hopefully we could partner with Appalachian Center to get the free meds in the location with a pharmacy, so it's a one-stop shop. So those are the three things that I think if we tackle those, we'll see an absolute improvement in just public safety overall.
Thanks so much, Kerry. Dustin Daniels, your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, first of all, unequivocally, yes, I support the decriminalization of marijuana. As a former juvenile criminal offender, quite frankly, somebody who was lucky and was a benefit of privilege that a lot of people don't have, who don't look like me, who don't, again, come from where I come from, I think this is an issue that is urgent and something that should be done immediately. On the issue of crime, I have to say, you know, I think that unfortunately, sometimes in this community, we look at issues as being sort of, singular institutional issues, right? That's the city's problem. That's the county's problem. That's the superintendent's problem. You know, unfunded mandates from the legislature about putting officers on, elementary school campuses, somehow that's just the school board. They're going to have to deal with it. I think that that's the wrong way to attack these issues. Not everywhere in the county, not everybody who lives in the county lives in the city, but everybody who lives in the city lives in the county. And I think that partnerships and sort of this idea that we need to, you know, allow the city or TPD to really address this issue and, the sheriff's office is already doing everything they can and what their responsibilities are, this is one community. And I think that we really need to act in that way. If you look at what our responsibilities or what our plan has been in this crime and this crime issue, we have essentially tried to, increase law enforcement. We've tried to double down on community policing, which I think is the right step. But we have had absolutely no plan for the 1,000 former criminal offenders that return to our community every 18 months, right? I used to believe that those individuals, that there was some sort of triage process where when they were about to get out of incarceration, that there was a process where they were asked the question, where are you going to live? Do you have a job? If you're getting mental health treatment or substance abuse treatment here, where are you going to get it when you get out? And what obviously we come to realize is no, there is no process for those individuals. And so for me, I care very little about how people get there on the issue. If you just believe in the fundamental dignity of people who've made a mistake, pay their debt to society, and ought to be able to return to their community, make a way for themselves and their families. But if you can't get there, just look at the money we're wasting year after year on increased law enforcement, on our criminal justice system, and we're not getting any better outcomes. I think that we need a people-first focused kind of strategy for our crime issues. And I think that we need to, again, start to address these issues as one community in partnerships with all of us pulling the rope in the same direction.
I thought when those people got out of prison, they got a new suit and a bus ticket. At least that's what I saw in the movie.
Unfortunately, unfortunately, that's not the case. I wish it were, but that's not the case.
Yeah. Okay. Michelle Redwinkle, West London.
I'm going to approach the first question, your question first. I have a record of being on the record to decriminalize marijuana. I actually filed the first bill in modern times to actually fully decriminalize marijuana. It was an envelope pusher, there's no doubt. We weren't going to pass it, but it did start the conversation. And so if anybody wants to see my record, I'm actually very proud of it. And if you go to the Florida House of Representatives, you can plug in my name for the years that I was there and see every single bill I filed, every bill that I worked on, every bill I co-sponsored, every bill I passed or amendment. Secondly, I also, the last bill that I passed when I was in the House or it became an amendment was to legalize the study of hemp. And hemp is not psychogenic, but it is something that we need to absolutely work on. It is a market driver. You know, we are the biggest importer of hemp in the country, I mean, the world, excuse me, and it's illegal to grow here. So it's kind of ridiculous. But anyway, and so as far as marijuana, I'm on that page. And I actually think that we need to look at an amnesty program once that works goes forward to maybe let all those folks who have nothing but marijuana possession charges out of prison or jail, because I think that's actually causing a problem in keeping our prisons and jails full. And as far as normal, I think Joe and Mike might have met in 1974 because Mike was the president of Normal at FSU. So this has been something in our family that we've been very concerned about, because it's not only good for your health, it can be, and I was very proud to be part of the push in the Florida legislature for medical marijuana. I had a dear colleague who was afflicted with cancer while we were working on that, and that inspired all of us to work hard on medical marijuana. As far as crime, I've been saying this around the campaign trail on my website. We have got to get rid of the cronyism, the corruption, and that will help with the crime problem. We also need to fill up our TPD spots. We have almost 30 TPD spots. We need to make sure that we've got them there. They have the good morale, and the Consolidated Dispatch Center, which is part of the responsibility of John Daly, is very much in trouble right now.
I think we need to talk about this a little bit more on the other side of this break, which is bearing down on us. We're talking to the Tallahassee City Commission seat 4 candidates. We have 5 out of the 6. They're running for mayor. We'll be right back. Back on Political Perspectives, the race for Tallahassee City Commission seat 4, the mayor's race here, and Michelle Redwinkle Vasilenta just came off talking about the crime issue and all that, and the dispatch center, which has had some problems.
Definite problems. It does not have any permanent leadership still. It's got morale problems. That's the heart of our community. You can't have public safety if you don't have a good consolidated dispatch center. And that has got to be job one. You know, as a mom, it's safety first, safety first, safety first. Now my girls are 28 and 32. And in some ways, you know, one's in Cincinnati, one's in Brooklyn. I think we have a lower crime per capita rate in those two cities, frankly. But the point is that CDA has got Consolidated Dispatch Center. I'm sorry, CDC has the alphabet soup can get confusing with these issues because they've all got problems. But the Consolidated Dispatch Center has got to be job one. All this stuff is all nice to think about as we go forward, but you have to prioritize, and that's number one. In Cincinnati, by the way, a little fella by the name of Kyle Plouffe got in trouble in the back of his van and ended up dying calling 911 there, and they had problems. And a city commissioner lost his position, and some other people lost their job. It is absolutely has got to be looked at, and we've got to look at whether we've got enough police on the streets, whether they're trained properly, and whether they've got the proper equipment. You can't stretch them to the max, and that's what's going on now. Now, we've got a number of law enforcement officers that are in drop, in the tens. It's 20, 30, something like that. Those people could decide to retire at any moment. Recruitment is very difficult across the country now for law enforcement. We've got to step up our game because it's been very hard to recruit for TPD. So those are some of the solid issues we need to work on. And I worked on a number of issues in the in the legislature with regard to mental health. We passed some of the mental health initiatives with our court system. I also was a part of the Veterans Court passage that we did back in 2008 or 9. So in any event, I'm very much aware of the intersection with mental health and these kinds of things that we need to do, and had the anti-bullying task force here in town with the dear and wonderful but deceased Larry Campbell, and that was my initiative to help with suicide prevention and bullying. And I had anti-bullying roundtables that went that was statewide to come up with ideas for legislation that then passed.
Well, under proper protocol, since you mentioned Commissioner Daley's name here, you have an opportunity to respond there when it comes to the dispatch center then, John. What do you think?
Well, I do appreciate it. And Michelle raises some very good points that do need to be addressed. And I was very proud to be a member of the County Commission when we voted in conjunction with the city to build the Consolidated Dispatch Center. I think it is a fine state-of-the-art center. We have people from all over the country that come to visit to see how we're doing it here. And I think Michelle brings up a very good point that I would like to highlight. It is very important that we hire the right people that can boost morale and that we can move our dispatch center forward. However, at the same time, it's important that we have a mayor that truly understands local governance and how it works. And let me remind you the governing structure of the CDA, because I'm not quite sure with the reference of I'm directly responsible that that's correct. It is not. In fact, I'd like to remind you that both the county and the city have what's called the non-interference clause. By law, as an elected official, I am not allowed to go directly to the CDA director and put my 2 cents in. It is not permitted, nor can any county commissioner, nor can any city commissioner or the mayor. The city has local ordinance. The county has local ordinance. So how we address these issues is that we have a governing board that is put in place. They do have the direct responsibility of hiring and firing in all the internal operations of the CDA. That consists of the county manager, the county administrator, the city manager, the sheriff, the police chief, the fire chief, and the chief of EMS. I have complete confidence that those group of individuals, and I'm sure I'm looking around the room, will be able to sit down, figure out what is going on, and let's face it, we've all read an article. We really don't know everything that's going on in there. But I have complete confidence that this group, this governing board, will be able to get to the bottom of this issue and move forward. But let me be clear, because the reference was that it is my responsibility as a county commissioner, and I'd like to remind you that there's local ordinance in place that actually prevents the politics of elected officials getting directly involved. And actually, that goes for any of the city staff. I mean, on the county side, by law, I'm supposed to deal directly with the county administrator. On the city side, by law, you work directly with the city manager, unless a system is put in place and that there is a clear line of communication that your administrator and your manager are part of. So I appreciate the opportunity to clarify that point.
Okay.
I need to do the rebuttal. I understand what is going on, but I also understand that I think Mr. Daley was ready for that question and ready for pushing back the responsibility. When you are an elected official, you have responsibility for the people that you are elected to represent. He could definitely bring that to the fore, the Consolidated Dispatch Center, bring it up at county commission meetings. There are things that he could do to highlight what's going on there. And once again, you cannot continue to push off what is going on in this city because of boards and inter-agency agreements and all that sort of thing. That the buck stops at the elected official level. And if it doesn't, then there's something wrong with the way we are governing, and we need to address that as well.
We could actually do an entire program on just how do we modify the intergovernmental agreements, whether sure. It comes to planning and zoning, the dispatch center, law enforcement, all of this sort of thing. So
I have one final comment.
Very quickly, please.
I am not afraid to make the tough decisions. Last year, when I was chairman of the county commission, under a state of emergency, by the recommendation, the unanimous recommendation of law enforcement, both on the state and the local level, I imposed the curfew for public safety. First and foremost, myself and all my colleagues and at the city, we are there for health, safety, and welfare. And I'm not afraid either that if decisions need to be made, your county commission and your city commission will make those decisions. The proper process, though, is for the county administrator or the chairman of the board to call a special meeting, because we don't have one scheduled right now. If the issue needs to come back that affects the interlocal agreement, which addresses the governing board of the CDA. And if any of those issues come forward, I guarantee you we will be spot on. The county administrator has done a tremendous job communicating with the commissioners on what is currently going on. This governing body will be meeting tomorrow to address these issues head on, and I have complete confidence.
Okay, well, let's get to something that is also needing to be addressed right now because there is so much going on. We all saw Jeff Schwier's little piece in the Democrat that possibly, maybe, conceivably, there could be indictments coming down in regards to the FBI investigation over the city of Tallahassee. You've got all kinds of things going on with the ethics board, recommendations that perhaps the ethical constraints should go down further in the food chain at City Hall, the possibility that we could be moving up the hiring of a city manager before anyone at this table would take office. Lots of stuff to talk about on that, and we've got about 10 minutes to do it, starting with you, Joe West.
I don't want to start. No. I wanted to watch John and Michelle hit at each other some more. That was really fun for me. The possibility. First of all, I get my news off of Facebook, so I know it's got to be accurate. But first of all, on the possibility of indictments, I'm sure there are indictments coming down. As to who they're against and when it'll happen, I'm in my late 60s. I may or may not see it. So I don't know what's going on with this investigation. I do know. At my last Vietnam Veterans of America State Council meeting, I talked to a retired FBI agent, and he said, man, these investigations can go on for 2, 5, 6, 7 years because as they continue to go on, they turn over another rock, and then they turn over another rock. So I don't know what's happening with that. I don't have a line to the FBI, and I'd like to keep it that way. What's the matter, guys? You guys are like, oh, I can't laugh. It'll be all right. What was the rest of it? I got
the rest of it. As mayor, though, that has been kind of your bailiwick. That it's not exactly a throw the bums out, but if I'm in there, it's different from what's there right now.
All I can do, I'm one vote. All I can do is I can honestly tell you what I see come across from city management to the city commission, and I don't believe we've been getting a clear picture of that over the last 6 or 7 years. If I vote against something and I see something that's wrong, but I'm outvoted, I have no problem standing up on the dais while we're on live TV and yelling at the top of my lungs, hey, this is going on. You need to know it. All I can do is tell you what's happening. I mentioned earlier clean and sober. The only way you get clean and sober is you get honest with yourself. The only way you can stay honest with yourself is if you stay honest with everybody else. And that's all I got to offer. I can give you my honest opinion on what's happening in that building, and I don't believe we've been seeing that over the last several years. So I'm hoping, as your mayor, I'm going to tell you what's actually happening. If there's contracts going out that ain't being bid, I'm going to let you know. We build a solar farm out there that 99% of Tallahassee thinks we own. We don't. We got one that's going to be twice as big, and it doesn't look like we're going to own that one either. Hiring the city manager, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. When you've got three people coming on new, you leave it up to what the citizens want on their new commission. I'm not the least bit surprised that the person that brought that forward is a person that is less than reputable in my eyes, and I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, okay, very good. John Daly, your turn.
I have focused my campaign on a very positive message because I think the citizens of Tallahassee want to embrace the new day in Tallahassee. Look, none of us have any control over what is going to happen, so I am focusing on the future. So I think it's important that we elect a mayor who is going to come in on day one, restore public trust, put the appropriate policies in place, and we all have great ideas on what those policies are and how they should be addressed, whether it's a zero gift ban, which I'm fully in support of, little things as in moving the podium back up, rearranging the commission meeting, so providing the public ample opportunity to participate in the meetings. But I think step one is your mayor needs to set the tone and help create the vision of the future. Whoever wins, we're going to have a majority new commission. That is exciting. I want to be part of that excitement, and I want to write the next chapter. And by doing so, we're going to reinstall public trust in City Hall, and we're going to be able to move our community forward.
Okay, fine. Carrie Lutherland.
Yeah, so big topic. First, hitting on public trust. We can't put in meaningful policy if we don't have the trust of the public to tell us what they want. So we need to attack that first. And the way I would do it is give the ethics, the independent ethics board, full independence and figure out what they want. Tell us, not let us tell them what ethical codes we should follow. I think that's first and foremost what needs to happen. Of course, I would ask, I think, like the majority of us, for a zero gift policy at this state, we have that, and it hasn't come crashing down. It makes things harder because we can't buy people off, but that's the point. And so hopefully they could put something into that as well. You know, we've talked about an investigator general to be able to have full investigative powers. Of course, I'd ask them to do that. Make sure that they have a policy on making sure that if anything comes across our table, that we can put it in an easily transparent online format saying, I have a family relationship with this vendor. I went to high school with this vendor, and we are very close, or we go on vacations together. And that needs to be first and foremost on the public's radar and able to grasp. The other thing I want to do is open up the budget. You know, in studying for this race, I've tried to look at the budget, and while I can understand budgets, I looked at the state budget quite often. You know, it's not line by line. I would like to mimic what the state has done to make it completely transparent. We have right now, if you go onto the transparency website of the TallyGov, it is a pie chart. It's a pie chart, a bar graph, and it doesn't tell you exactly where the money is going or how it's being spent or why it's being spent or how it's being funded, and that needs to change. As far as the city manager position goes, I think that was I'm not afraid to say that was just a cop-out for them, and I think that they're having pressure, political pressure, to make those decisions, and it's wrong, and it's wrong, and it's been what's been happening since I've lived here my whole life, and it's time for it to change, and I hope that with three new seats, we can get it to change.
Thank you. Dustin Daniels.
Tom, lot to talk about. Yeah. I'll just say very briefly, since I didn't have an opportunity, I do think it's important, though, that we have leadership that is not just aware of issues when they bubble to the surface and there's an article written about them. I do think that it's important to have leaders that when the Emergency Operations Center, for instance, is activated, that they make sure that they're there outside of when there's just press conferences and things like that, but actually seeing how things are done and actually chipping in where it makes sense, not necessarily directing staff, but making sure that they're having an impact and also that they're showing leadership. On the issue of the FBI, I got to tell you, I'm the only candidate in this race who submitted several comprehensive policies that I've not heard any of the folks around this table say that they agree with, that they endorse, or otherwise. I've said that I think that this isn't rocket science. I think that we should put a ban on accepting campaign contributions from city vendors. We should put a ban on city vendors having any official or unofficial role within a candidate's campaign for local office. We should put a ban on the number several years after somebody who leaves elected office at the city level before they can actually lobby before the government. And we should also basically put very stringent penalties on any organization or individual who lobbies before the city government and does not register as a lobbyist with the city government, to include funding penalties or actually just being barred from lobbying in the first place. You know, for me, what's unfortunate about this FBI investigation is not that it isn't important, but we have spent a lot of time talking about what one person may have done or not have done. To the extent that wrongdoing was done, I believe that person will be brought to justice. But at the end of the day, I'm interested in talking about real issues. I'm interested in talking about the fact that 16,000 people applied for public housing vouchers for only 3,000 spots. I'm interested in talking about how 41% of the people in this community, in this county, live either below the poverty line or below the ALICE line, meaning that they're living paycheck to paycheck. I'm interested in talking about how we're the number one crime city in the state of Florida for the third year in a row. So for me, I'm an open book when it comes to these things. I think, again, let's not talk about them in platitudes, right? If you put your money where your mouth is, if you think that there's a problem with ethics in City Hall, put some ideas forward, say whether or not you actually endorse them or not. And at the end of the day, let's talk about real issues that are genuinely keeping people up at night and that they're talking about in their dinner, around their dinner tables. Because I tell you, when I campaign all over this city, very seldomly does anybody bring up this issue, but they sure as hell bring up the other issues I just brought up.
Okay. What we're going to do here, Michelle, since we're coming up again on a break, give you an opportunity to get into this as well. And then we'll have additional time for some back and forth, if you would like. And Mr. West, I know you're going to have to take off.
I am going to have to take off. I'll just close it with, and because I like the people sitting at this table, when I become mayor, I intend on hiring John as the city manager.
Thanks, Joe.
Well, we'll have to get that in writing here, Joe. Hold on.
I just said it on Facebook. It's good.
We also want to thank all the folks who have posed questions via Facebook here. A lot of things we couldn't get into. My gosh, we got growth and development, the training of the police department, all that kind of thing here. So, gee, we'll have to come back and do this all again, won't we, here?
Absolutely.
So, Michelle, hang on here, and you will have full opportunity to talk about ethics in government and what you would do as mayor on the other side of our interrupted break as we go on to Facebook Live. Perspectives produced by WFSU in Tallahassee. We have Evan Rossi manning the controls back there and behind the glass. We also had Lido Rawls with all of the interfacing with our various and sundry platforms that are part and parcel of what we do here. The crew for today on FSU is, this is the TV side of the house, Suzanne Smith, Houston Brannon, Brandy Staney, Robbie Gaffney, Christian Summersill, and John Manson Hing, Facebook Live and WFSU.org. Services provided by Tricia Moynihan, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Tomorrow we will be wrapping up our pre-primary political perspectives with the candidates for Tallahassee City Commission, Seat 5. We'll reconnect then, right here on Perspectives.
Copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.
Welcome to our extended conversation on Political Perspectives. This is the live on Facebook situation, and we're just coming off of a rather protracted and a certainly lively discussion when it comes to ethics at City Hall. The dark cloud that some say hangs over the building and some of the people therein, and we wanted to wrap up with you, Michelle Ray Winkle-Vasalinda, what you as mayor would do to address all of those issues, whether it's expand ethical demands on other staff. What are your thoughts here?
Well, for one thing, you know, I've taught applied ethics at TCC for about 2 decades and actually developed the course there. I'm also a lawyer who's been trained to avoid even the appearance of impropriety. I've been vetted in 5 elections by some very high-powered campaign folks. Peter Boware, my first campaign opponent, spent many tens of thousands of dollars on investigating my background. So I've been vetted. I'm a person of integrity and ethics. I think anybody at the legislature would tell you that. So I think modeling that type of behavior is important, and I think that's job one. Job number two is then putting in place some things, which I would do, which is go to the Form 6 financial disclosure instead of Form 1, and to tell the listeners what that is. Form 6, you have to expose every single bit of your financial portfolio, and I did that for 8 years in the legislature. You could find out if I spent a couple $100 on a stock, it was supposed to be in there, and we were very accurate and very detailed in that in my particular situation, although, you know, we need to have some teeth to make sure people do that. So change from Form 1, which is present, to Form 6. Form 1 is just floppy. It's not very good. So that I think you need to allow people to see the transparency of where people might be feathering their own nests. And that's been going on, I think, in local government all across the board. I think also you need to look at campaign contributions and be able to cross-check that. You need to look at lobbyists. You need to look at vendors and cross-check that. And I would put that front and center on the city website so that people could check and do a conflict of interest check like happens in law firms all over the country and in the state of Florida. And you could have then the press and the citizens be the watchdogs and see very clearly how those things are connected. So I think those are three things. One is good behavior and good past and modeling integrity. The second is the Form 6. The third is the website. And the fourth is, why don't we take a look at in putting in an inspector general like we have in state agencies, to be truly independent. I think it's Florida Statute 20.055 that has the Inspector General outline, and I think we should maybe take a look at that. And so those are some of the things that I would do. As far as, you know, what's going on in with our community and the perception that we have, I think morale is very low. The people at the Consolidated Dispatch Center, they do a very good job. They're very serious. I was just there for a training as to how to evacuate folks and spent a couple of hours in that building. And those folks, from what I understand, are very serious, very hardworking, but they're under a lot of pressure, and we need to make sure that they are trained properly and that they have the support that they need. In the legislature, we looked at consolidated dispatch center training in my early years because there was a problem. I've been very much clued in the whole time of my service that that dispatch centers are where it's at. It's the heart and soul of how you send out help to our community, and I've been talking about this for a very long time on another radio show yesterday and on the campaign trail. That is job number one, is fixing that consolidated dispatch center, fixing the morale of law enforcement. And what's happening at the top levels with the cronyism and the corruption, it has an effect with the people who work for local government, and it has an effect to the people on the streets. Because what people say, I think, to themselves, it's human nature. If there's not integrity at the top, if people aren't doing the right things at the top, well, then I'm going to get mine. And getting mine, in quotes, might mean stealing this, that, or the other thing, or just having a general sense that we're not running things properly. Good ethics is good business. That's the motto that I live by. And I think that we can't do anything. We can't build a legacy in this community without making sure that we have integrity, the highest level of integrity, the highest level of ethics at the top, and then we can build a legacy for our children and grandchildren. And I was just watching a movie last night on Turner Classic Movies called Phoenix, P-H-E-N-I-X, about a small town in Alabama that actually existed. It was kind of a documentary film. And everything that came out of that town because of a lack of integrity, because of cronyism, was destructive from the get-go. And we cannot keep building that this way. Our town has got to have growth. It's got to be able to invite people to come into the town. Choose Tallahassee is a wonderful initiative here in our community to try to get elders and retired folks into the town. How do you do that when we have this black eye out there? I've also had an ethics center idea at the legislature that's getting some renewed interest so that we can have an ethics center right here in the capital city to kind of meet this thing head on, because we've been looked at as the corruption capital of the country as far as the state, and we should maybe have an ethics center that serves our state and our city, and it also could increase tourism. You know, the Supreme Court and the legislature, we get a lot of tourism from around the state of young people and people who want to come up and visit. Why don't we have an ethics center right someplace in the Capitol complex where people can come and take classes on ethics, take classes on how to do business better with local government, corporations and nonprofits. So I have lots of ideas, lots of vision, lots of contacts to make that happen, lots of networking, and want to serve this city with my heart and soul every single moment like I did in the state legislature.
Let's give our other folks here an opportunity to talk about their vision, because the office of mayor is certainly a visionary position in setting a tone, setting an overall attitude and approach to not just governance, but also what this community is, what it represents, what its aspirations are. So starting with you, John, and then going around the table here, your vision as mayor, especially since we have, and something else we haven't even hit on, if you could include this, please, it'd be nice for everyone here, this yin and yang between preservation and development, because that has the potential to rip this community asunder too, unless the mayor gets in and tries to bridge that gap. So what would you do?
Well, I think first and foremost, we need to make sure that we elect an individual that truly understands the role of a directly elected mayor in a council management form of government. And the fact that that mayor cannot work on their own in a typical strong mayor fashion, but in fact has to work in a positive coalition, not only with the rest of the city commission, but also with senior staff that is appointed by that commission. It's important for the mayor to set the tone, not only within City Hall and within its own employees, but also within the community. Your mayor should be your chief cheerleader, okay? But what's disturbing is that if I sat down and asked you, what is the five-year strategic plan of the station here, you could probably either produce a document and show me, or you could tell me in about a sentence or two, whether it's a place of worship, whether it's a nonprofit, whether it's the private industry. A five-year strategic plan is crucial to the success. The city of Tallahassee does not have a five-year strategic plan. Now, we have several different plans. We have the Southside plan. We have an economic development plan. We have a transportation plan. We have specific sector plans, but not the overall strategic plan. Now, I am proud to be part of the county government that 7 years ago, we did create a strategic plan. And at the end of the first 5 years, and we would check in every year at our annual retreat to make sure that the actions that we are taking were in line with the overall vision and mission statement that we created. And then we have renewed for another 2 years because the first 5 years came up. In fact, most people might not realize that every agenda item that is on one of our county meetings will reference positively or negatively how a vote on that particular issue would affect the overall vision. And I think it's important that every time we take a vote on a major issue, that we always check in with the overall strategic plan to ensure our success and be able to move forward. So, specifically, before we can set the plan in place, I think we need to redefine who we are by the services that we provide. I think we should do a complete audit, not in a punitive manner, but just to identify every municipal service that the city of Tallahassee provides to the citizens in Tallahassee, and let's make it transparent. Let's make sure that everybody is aware of exactly what your municipal government is currently doing. We need a mayor that can bring the community back together. We need a mayor that can bring the commission back together and work with the staff to create this vision. You start off with the redefining who you are, and then you start the community conversation of where are we going and what we are, what do we want to be. What's great is, do you know what's going on in 2024?
2024
is the 200th birthday of the city of Tallahassee. We have this amazing ability, Tom, to come together, create a strategic plan, and then in fact, if we take a year to create the plan, 5 years later, we have the opportunity to celebrate our success and celebrate who we are as a city. And I think it's an amazing opportunity to come together. When you talk about growth and development, it is very important that we elect the right leaders that can make tough decisions, okay? And the thing that's great about Tallahassee is that we all, as candidates, we know people from all different walks of life that on all the big issues are going to be on different sides. And it's important that you study each issue as it comes before you, okay? And you do your homework, and you get in the community, and you talk to the residents to make sure that your votes are in line with what the community wants. We just had a very tough vote. I was on the short end of a 6-1 vote dealing with a rezoning issue up on the Bannerman Road. I thought my position was, casting no judgment upon a proposed development or not, it is our responsibility to put in the public infrastructure, widen Bannerman Road, make sure that that infrastructure is in place before we move forward. That was the position that I stood on. Was it a tough one? Absolutely. But we need to elect the right people that can make those tough decisions moving forward.
Okay, terrific. Carrie Letherton.
Yeah, I love your question because that's kind of where my vision started. I want to see, you know, I'm a recent grad myself, so when we talk about retaining grads, you know, I have kind of a key in there. But what I want to see is a place that I know and love, and that's full of our trees and full of, you know, just green, rich neighborhoods. And so when you talk about development, we have to do it thoughtfully, and I don't think that's been happening. I think we've taken the side of the developers and the corporations and overdeveloped Tallahassee and not in the right ways. Do we need high-dense areas? Sure, maybe, but we need to make sure that we're not losing who we are and losing our character while doing it. So when we talk about, you know, what is the vision for this city, it really comes down to, you know, listening to the residents, understanding what they want, and implementing that. So when we're talking about developments as well, how many deviations have we done in the last 5 years to the already in place requests from our residents? We've asked for simple things, I think, which is green space, bike lanes, safe sidewalks. And every time a new development comes up downtown, one of the deviations are made. And so it's not only making those things a priority that the citizens have asked for, but following through and making sure that we are continuously guarding our city. Do we need to open it up to maybe seeing what more possibilities we can offer? Because we need to do something different than we've done in the past. Obviously, what we're doing is not working. Grads don't want to stay here. There's not a culture or a climate that is drawing to people. We need to look forward at small business economy. You know, I think Tallahassee has proven that we thrive on our small businesses, and we need to support that and stop looking at bringing in big corporations and focusing on how we can get the money into the pockets of the residents here. So that's a vision as well where I want to kind of round out our community. I also want to see a green Tallahassee. I think it's the way of the future. We hear it all the time about the number. Is it 2035? Is it 2055? Is it 2030? What is the right time frame for us to go full renewable energy in town? And I believe that we can, if we start now, it's more than a five-year plan, and we need to look further in the future and look at 2035 and make that our goal. Because if we at least get 80% there by 2035, heck yeah, that's great. We've done something, and we're not starting at 2035 going, oh, crap, we've got to make up some time. So starting now, making sure that we have those things in place, making sure that, you know, we're starting the research and the technology here on how we can capture more sunlight and turn that into energy. We've got great students coming out of these universities that I'm sure have brilliant ideas on how to help this city move towards a greener city. So those are a couple of things that I see as a vision. Honestly, I just want as a voter to trust my government, to trust that they have the best intentions and they have my intentions and they're speaking my voice. And that's what I hope I can offer our voters this year.
Thanks so much, Carrie. Dustin Daniels.
Yeah, Tom, I appreciate the question. You know, for me, I think that what it comes down to is my vision for Tallahassee is that we more fully transition ourselves to a true 21st century city. That means a couple of things to me. I think that for us, a 21st century city means that we embrace kind of who we are, and we are a city of builders. We are a place where if you are an entrepreneur, if you're somebody who cares about social justice issues, if you're somebody who wants to impact the policymaking process that impacts over 20 million people's lives in the state of Florida, that you can do that here, right? To me, a 21st century city means that we stop trying to basically give out corporate tax breaks and corporate giveaways to try to basically attract Amazon to our community, and that we stop wasting public resources, quite frankly, to actually do that. Unfortunately, Amazon's not going to come here, okay? I hate to be the bearer of bad news. But the likelihood that we could double down on some of the growing startups, entrepreneurs, and small businesses that, quite frankly, with no support from their local government, are already making leaps and bounds and creating jobs and economic opportunity in this community, if we double down on those folks, we give them what they need, we try to work with them to leverage public purchasing power, or we leverage the research capabilities of our universities, the likelihood that they could create further economic opportunity for this community is far greater. And I think that's something that we got to do. To me, also, a 21st century city means that we come to grips with the fact that we have a lot of skeletons in our closet, that we are a city in the South, and that we can't just pretend like things like Jim Crow and the odious legacy of some of those racist policies just essentially that never happened, right? We live in one of the most economically segregated cities in the United States, right? That is absolute fact. When people visit our community, they oftentimes point to an actual physical railroad literally dividing, in many cases, the haves and have-nots. That, to me, is extremely troubling. And again, it's only something that we seem to be talking about when it's an election season. It's only something that we talk about when we find Tallahassee's name on a list that we don't want to be on. For me, there are things that we can do to move the needle. For so long, we've been talking about how we want students from our universities to come and stay in Tallahassee. And if only Tallahassee was cooler or better, maybe they would want to do that. that doesn't make any sense to me. There are no jobs for people with four-year degrees and two-year degrees in Tallahassee because we don't have any industry here yet. For me, it also casts a shadow on this idea of what about the people who live here, the people who have grown up here, the people who have lived in intergenerational poverty and who have not had any access to economic opportunity? Why would we focus so much on, again, helping students stay here when those folks as well don't have any economic opportunity? If you look at the job growth that has taken place in this community, we have over 500 jobs, for instance, in the technology sector, everything from networking to cybersecurity to programming. These are jobs that pay more than a living wage, that local businesses need to continue to grow, and also that don't require a four-year degree or a two-year degree. I go and I talk to businesses that say on average it takes them 12, 18 months to find the people they need, to find the talent they need. Then I go into other areas of town and I talk to people about who are underemployed or unemployed who say, I've been looking for a job for 12 to 18 months. You know what the missing piece is? Workforce development. That's why I've proposed that we create programs that provide free community colleges, that free community college education, free vocational and technical education for individuals who are going into high demand, needed areas of our economy. If we remove barriers by allowing people again to have access to these economic opportunities, we win because we're literally pulling people from poverty, but we're also giving local businesses who are going to be the job creators of the future what they need to continue to allow us to win the future. For me, I believe that we are a city of builders. I believe that we do a lot of things well, but we have got to come to terms with this idea that unless everybody is at the table, that this is not a community that truly is representative of what we could be.
Well, Michelle Raywinkle-Vasselinder, you began this discussion of vision, and you get to end it.
Thank you. Integrity, economic diversity, resiliency. Those are the three points of my campaign and what I think that this city needs. I am not a central planner, but what I do think we need is we need to restore trust. Then we need to make sure that there's the infrastructure in place. We need to make sure that we've got a level playing field for everybody, and I've got a track record of that. You know, I worked on the internet sales legislation, and it's now moving forward in a different way. I was part of that critical mass that moved it forward to the Supreme Court. We're going to be getting in some more tax money, sales tax money, into the city of Tallahassee and our local government because there's going to be more to collect. So I think that's very important, and that also helped our brick-and-mortar businesses with a level playing field. But as far as economic diversity, I was the one that, with my hand out at the legislature always, asking for state workers' salaries, pensions, health care. We need to diversify this economy. We have the least utilized national lab in the country for innovation and businesses coming out of that. Maybe not for professors and people studying, but for that kind of thing. We need to leverage what we have. We need to leverage the two fine public universities we have and the community college we have for these kinds of trainings and entrepreneurial ventures and also internships and apprenticeships. Those are the kinds of things that we need to do. As far as resiliency, we need to make sure that the lights are on so that when we invite new people to come in, whether it's Choose Tallahassee and the elders, whether it's graduates that we want to stay, we need to make sure that we're not down for 6 or 7 days during a less than Hurricane One. I was in the meetings with the governor and the mayor when we had Hurricane Hermine, and it was like those guys had never met before. That can't stay. We have got to make sure that we've got a secure grid that's moving forward, and if that takes renewable energy, we could have had more solar in this community years ago, but we actually pushed out some solar developers because we were not willing, because everybody gets revenue, whether it's a city utility or a private utility, they get revenue off of fuel, and the fuel from the sun is free. So there are some things that we need to look into and that we need to do, but economic diversity is job one. As far as helping folks who are below the poverty line, I was food insecure during college. I've worked since I was 12 years old because I was born to good parents, and I was blessed to have good parents, but a father that struggled with a small business, and my mother was a registered nurse. So I don't come from a family of privilege. I've worked my way all the way up and past law school, so I know what it's like. Not maybe some of the folks that have true poverty, but I've certainly worked in this community and campaigned and worked with folks like that, and I'm willing to help. And I think the way you do that is a rising tide floats all boats. I read the Office of Economic Vitality's whatever, over 100-page report, and they didn't mention But I think once, and in a very small way, Enterprise Florida or the Department of Economic Opportunity. Those are resources we have right here in town. We don't need to do this as an independent in a silo. We should reach out. We should reach out to the state government. We should reach out to national government, bring down grants and things. There's many, many things to do. And what's kind of funny is I think Mr. Daniels and Speaker Corcoran are on the same page, not wanting to give corporate giveaways I don't either. I think there's a marketing that can be done. I think there's setting up our infrastructure where it's strong and we know we've got a good, strong, resilient community. And then I think, you know, leveraging the resources that we have. We also have some wonderful private colleges as well. I don't want to leave them out. But leveraging all that, we need to make sure that we're developing talent, but also keeping it here. And I was privileged to represent one of the most well-educated districts it is the most well-educated district in the state of Florida. That has got to be recognized. We have a talent pool here. And how to get those state salaries up is to make sure people are coming in and want those people, and there's true competition for those folks as well, because they're good people and they work hard. So thank you, and that is my vision for our city, is to bring it forward to the capital city of the third largest state in the union. And one last thing, Georgia just got rid of their aviation fuel tax exemption for Delta. And I got on the phone when I heard that with the governor and asked him as a parting gift. I don't know whether he'll be able to pull that off, but to look into maybe bringing some of that business to Tallahassee to help us make a mini hub, or to Florida at the very least. So I have that kind of reach. I have that kind of vision, and I'm willing to work for this city to make it the best it can be and to empower each and every person in this city to be the best person that they can be, like I've done at Tallahassee Community College for 30 years and like I did in the legislature for 8.
Michelle Redwinkle, Vasilinda, John Daly, Carrie Litherland, and Dustin Daniels. And, of course, Joe West, happy trails, buddy. Hope you can make it to Gainesville okay. And Mr. Barr, so sorry you couldn't be here with us, but Norris Barr's name will also appear on the ballot here coming up on the 28th. Don't forget to vote, guys. Please make sure you are registered. Make sure that you vote and take control of your future here in the city of Tallahassee, Leon County, and in the local school system as well. Thanks to all of our candidates. Don't forget, tomorrow it is Tallahassee City Commission. That's seat number 5. We'll have those folks here tomorrow, right here on Perspectives. Take care.